great to have everybody with us tonight. It's Tuesday night, our celebration of life. Tonight we're starting from the very beginning of the training. This is a very exciting moment for us to start over and reflect. Here we are at the very end of January, getting ready to go into February on Saturday. Very exciting. I'm going to be in New York City on Saturday at Lee Steinberg's Super Bowl party. This will be fun. Tonight we're going to take on connection with people. So pull out your assessment, first of all. Also, we'll want you to have your book, Today I Begin a New Life, if you have a copy of that, so that we can take a look at these pieces and see if we can't look at this perhaps differently than we ever have before. I've got some additional information I'd like to share with you tonight as it relates to this area of connection. So let's get started. If you have your assessment handy, we'll use that information to assist us. I am building a new studio for the back end of a new assessment that we'll be putting on the website. When we did assessment debriefs and we clicked on these measurements, you can click on any one of them on your assessment and get a little 15 to 20 second message. We've got a new assessment that's coming out. It actually will have a price tag on it because of the amount of information. When you click on a bar, the bar will first of all tell you which way you're leaning, to the right or to the left, and little indicators of what that means. And then there's a pop-up that goes through the objective, what we're trying to accomplish, and then with our thoughts, what do our thoughts want us to do, and then some coaching ideas. It's going to be a very rich experience for those who come to the website for the first time to better understand this information. And then we're going to have a tool set in the back that's got some additional information based on the last several years of coaching, working with individuals, especially in a couple of specific measurements. I want to spend time on those two measurements first, because the first one is out of balance about 92% of the time. It's in connection. It's the second measurement down. It's entitled Respectful. Respectful. Now, we're changing the name of this particular measurement to Observant, and that may help you. Observant. On the right-hand side, it would say Overfocused. On the left-hand side, it would say Indifferent. And most of the time it's leaning to the right. Excuse me just a moment. I'm still nursing my cold. On the right-hand side, respectful, the measurement, the science behind the measurement is asking us, can we see the value in a person's outward attributes, their physical attributes, possessions, accomplishments, talents, skills? Can we see the value in these pieces? We have a tendency to be over-focused. We have a couple of risks. And I'd like to open up the new savvy, I kind of like that phrase, our new intentional creation manual that tells us what this actually means. And so if we go to this section of the manual, and we're asking, okay, so I'm over-focused in this area. What does that mean exactly? I want you to listen to this. He said, these thoughts want you to be a little over-focused on a person's physical attributes. Should you choose to listen to these thoughts, there are four primary risks. Now, I used to list two. I'm listing four from the experience we've had. They're not always present, but they're present enough to amend this definition. Here's number one. You might create expectations about how a person will perform based on how he or she looks. And it continues, only to be disappointed when the person performs differently. We live in a time in our history when everybody's doing their very best to look as good as they can. But they just don't feel that way. They've got so much going on, and it impacts their productivity, their decision-making. And so they look like they could do a great job, and then they don't, and it's just terribly disappointing. Number two, you might form detrimental judgments. And what could those detrimental judgments look like? It might be a person's height or weight or hair or complexion or grammar. We're paying too much attention to those outward appearances. Number three, initially you might feel uncomfortable or even intimidated by people who appear to be successful or powerful. If you have your assessment, look straight across over at Confident to see if it's got any challenges. Is it orange or red? If it is, there might be a good chance that when we look at someone who looks very successful, or looks like they have the things we want, and we don't feel like we have those things, we can feel less than. We can be intimidated by the person. Now, in a few minutes, you start to feel more comfortable. But it's the initial reaction to the person. If you're in a home-based business and you call people or you connect with people or you follow up on leads or you have what we call a chicken list, all the people you would like to talk to, but they look too successful. They don't look like they need what you have. This is a time in history when we want to step into a person's world and listen to them. And until we understand them, until they feel understood so their walls can come down, cooperation can flood out. Because it's in that space that we find the truth of what's going on. We don't need to find all the details of their life. We're just focused outwardly on them instead of on us. Instead of us feeling less than, we're stepping in their world to see how we could serve them. That helps us get past that chicken list. Because that's a really big challenge when this measurement is orange or red. Fourth, you might become envious or even resentful because you currently do not have these things. Now let's go over here to the risks and the coaching. Have you ever talked to a person who acted interested in your business, got hopeful, and then were disappointed when he or she didn't join? That's if you're not like a home-based business. Have you ever formed detrimental judgments based on appearance? I mentioned these a moment ago, height, weight, hair, complexion, grammar, etc. Have you ever hesitated to talk to a person about your business because he or she looked too successful and probably didn't need your product? Ever feel envious when others seem to have everything you want and it seems too hard to create? As an intentional creator, we want to be respectful. Or the new word, observant. 92% of all entrepreneurial people are over-focused on a person's outward appearance. We'll want to know how to step into a person's world, take down walls of resistance, establish trust, get accurate information, and create a connection. If anybody on the phone has this measurement orange and has a question, feel free to just jump out and say, ask me a question. Is there anyone that would like to ask a question about this measurement, respectful? Because the purpose of intrinsic validation is for us to stop focusing on ourselves, over-focusing on another person's outward appearance, and step into their world to look for that what's important to them, and then verbalize it. Listen to what they're saying. Listen for a door to open. Well, tell me more about that. To get past the facade, because the thought's facade today is just such a lie. Okay, now, next is the fifth measurement, just and fair. This one causes a lot of challenges for folks. We've talked about the gunny sack in the past. I'm going to have everybody participate tonight. Hold your gunny sack in your left hand. This is where you hold all those infractions. And somebody does something, and you're holding it in your right hand. This is the infraction. They just did something that frustrates you. And you'd like to say something about it. Like to say something. But your thought process is, want you to reflect on all the stress that it could create, the risk of losing a partner, the risk of causing damage to the business. There's so many reasons why we shouldn't. We take it and we stick it in the sack. We get the next infraction. We talk ourselves out of it again, into the sack. There's a belief that our only option is to confront, acquiesce, to give up or give in. Like those are our only two options. And that's not true. We are so used to somebody does something, we react. Og talks about this in scroll number 2, and he says, love is the greatest weapon to open the hearts of man. It's also my greatest shield to protect me against the spears of hate and the arrows of hate and the spears of anger. What will I do? I'll hold up my love and turn it into the softest of rain. When I do, my name will be raised high on the pyramid of life. Very few people get to that point in life. Most of us are spending our time just staying aware enough to keep our shield up in these moments. So somebody does something that's frustrating. We don't confront them. We want to explore the concept of carefrontation. Carefrontation. That means we care enough about them to step into their world and listen. It could sound like this, Bill. For the last 2 weeks, I just noticed that you've been coming in about 25 to 30 minutes late. Is there anything happening in your life that would be helpful for me to know? Can you hear the door knock? Oh, well. Yes. Would you feel comfortable sharing? Well, it's kind of a difficult thing. My wife is struggling with cancer. And she has to go see the oncologist every morning. And every third day, she's on chemotherapy. And I get here as fast as I can, but I'm still, as you've mentioned, 30 minutes late. Well, carefrontation asks us to keep everything in proper perspective. The definition of respectful is very simple. When we are just and fair, we courageously address a person's inappropriate behavior or poor performance when it occurs. We step into the person's world, listen, explore, and accurately assess the situation. Keep any reason in proper perspective and set clear and appropriate boundaries. Can you imagine the employer saying to this person, wow, how much longer will she be in chemotherapy? 3 more weeks. Well, during that 3 weeks, why don't you plan in coming in at 8:30? Do you think it might be possible for you to work just a little harder and get all your work done in 7.5 hours? Well, I think I could do that. Why don't you just plan on doing that? And please keep me informed on how she's doing. What kind of cancer is she struggling with? Oh, she's got breast cancer. What stage is it? Stage 2. They caught it early. Oh, what a blessing. Well, keep in touch with me. Well, now you have, some employers would just say, you're 30 minutes late, you do it one more morning, and you're out of here. Or we just can't have this as a company. And all of a sudden, this has been a good employee, has been, and the employer steps into the world, keeps in proper perspective all the reasons for being late, and then can make wise and appropriate decisions, set proper boundaries. Now, if we step into this person's world and the person says, it's Billy, and he says, oh, I just got my friends have been in town, and you know, we're staying up late and partying, and it's just hard for me to get up. Well, Billy, it might be time for us to consider which is more important, your friends or your job. What do you think? Oh, it's my job. Can I expect you to be here at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning? Yes. If you're not, do you know what will happen? I'll lose my job. That's correct. We okay with that? Yeah. Thank you for sharing. Most of the time, when we step into a person's world, when their behavior is inappropriate, we find a reason for it. A reason that if we can step back and with agape love, look at the reason, we go, wow, I didn't know that. That makes more sense. Now we can make allowances for that behavior or talk about how we can improve the behavior. That's carefrontation. It's caring enough to step into their world without judgment and just listening and discovering what's really going on. Person feels understood, the walls come down, cooperation can flood out, behavior will often shift. And if not, as Jim Collins says, we've got to have the right people on the bus and in the right seats as part of running a business. So confrontation, carefrontation, that's the measurement. Can you start to feel this section on connection? Because we have tolerant. I want to talk about tolerant for a moment. Because tolerant is asking, okay, can you see the risks in another person's belief systems, especially when that belief system is different or even dangerous? Can we see the risks? Now, we can go to a tower and an airplane going into it and seeing the risks in a belief system, and that's really not what we're talking about. It can be that, but we rarely encounter those kinds of issues in person with a person. What we want to be able to look at is more in terms of their personal belief systems about life, hard work, earning money, saving it, paying their way, being responsible. And this is a really tender topic because there are those who truly do need. At the same time, they are takers. And they just suck everything out of one person and move to the next person. I'm not going to suggest whether or not you serve them. What I am going to suggest is if your tolerant measurement is orange, that you pause before you do, and you consciously release any expectation for the service. If you're loaning them money, don't loan it, give it, because you're not going to get it back anyway. And if you're planning on it being returned, there's an expectation, and when it's not returned, there's going to be frustration and anger. So don't loan it. Give it. You're saying, but I want to give it to them. Then don't. But don't loan it to somebody who won't be paying it back and being frustrated. This can happen with teenagers. It can happen with relatives. It can happen with people in the community. Because I'm not suggesting whether or not you give. I just suggest you give with your eyes wide open. Because if you ever feel resentment for service, you probably shouldn't have given, or you need to reevaluate the process. I see a lot of really wonderful people with this measurement red. And they've almost always tried to save underdogs. And when I've asked this question, it's almost unanimous. Here's the question. When you finally woke up to the reality of what was happening and you stopped, who was the bad guy? And everybody responds, me. That's when you know that you teach a man to fish. You don't give him a fishing pole. And if they don't want to fish, they just want you to give them fish, then they probably have a lesson to learn. Truly humble people don't want a handout. They want a hand up. They would love to have somebody give them some guidance and mentoring. But there are those who just want to take advantage of people. So watch that one. That's in the measurement tolerant. Now that leads us into the last measurement in this, which is called compassion. Now, what's being asked mathematically is, can we see when someone is being hurt, when they're experiencing pain? And if your measurement is orange, this isn't a measurement of whether or not you have compassion. It's generally a measurement of what else is going on in your life that is distracting you from seeing somebody else's pain. Because if your measurement is orange, I can almost promise you that if someone has a pain greater than yours, you will pay attention. It's just that thing I've shared a few times where they've got a blister on their toe and I've got a broken ankle. How can I be concerned about their blister when I can't even walk? My ankle is shattered. And the answer is, in all truth, this isn't about your ankle. That's all the stuff on the internal world of your assessment. It's not about you. It's not about your ankle. The only question being asked here is, can you see how painful the blister is to them? That's all that's being asked. This is a great invitation to all of us to go, this is one of the major reasons when we get to mental creation and joy in the journey and self-esteem, we're going to want to take those on, get those measurements in balance so we're more fully available to be present. Because this is one of the places where we're going to want to be present when we see someone else in pain. Are we available enough to see it without being clouded by our own life experiences? Well, we've got accepting we haven't talked about. Accepting just says, okay, can you see imbalance in terms of a person's beliefs and behavior, their goodness and their challenges? Or are we just looking at the challenges? Because we all know if we look for what's wrong, we will find it. And there's nothing more destructive to a business than having the tendency to look for what's wrong. It absolutely destroys relationships. People know when they're being judged. Well, I'd like to spend a moment on intrinsic validation tonight to see how we're doing. I'd asked you last week to read that section and practice this a little bit and bring some of your challenges, people you may have tried to talk to, struggles you had with relatives, whatever it might be, so that I could do my very best to serve you tonight in addressing those issues. Before we go into that section, does anybody have any questions about their assessment report?
I have a question, Dave. This is Kat.
Hi, Kat. How are you? I heard when you came on the line tonight. It's great to hear your voice.
Oh, it's good to be here. I have a 6:30 call I have to get on, so I won't be here long. But you talked about the assessment changing and the website changing. Is this something that we should retake again? We should go back and go through this
again?
It's
about 3 months away before you see it. I'm sorry. It's about 3 months away, and then I'm going to encourage you to go back and take it. And I will give you a code to be able to do that. So I'll give you a special promotional code.
Sounds like some of these definitions and things are changing, and probably from what you're saying, I'm not sure I answered them probably in that context. So it sounds interesting.
Well, the rankings, the words or phrases that you rank, that whole process is the same. All we're doing is trying to help a person better understand their results. That when, like for an example, do you have any measurements in connection that are orange?
No.
Okay, that's beautifully balanced. Do you have any down in mental creation that are red or orange? Bottom right hand side.
Oh, yes, I do.
Is goal oriented red or orange by any chance?
It is indeed.
Yeah, okay. It is 97% of the time with entrepreneurial people. People look at goal-oriented and it's red and they say, that can't be right, I'm goal-oriented. When they look at this bar in the new assessment, it says goal-oriented in the middle. The right-hand side says vivid visualization. The left-hand side says shut down. And the descriptor says my mental vision. So it tells them we're measuring their mental vision for their life. And if it's leaning to the right, vivid visualization, well, I am very vivid. Yeah, I am. Okay. Now I'm not fighting, because that's not what it means. It didn't mean that you weren't. And instead of having to explain to somebody, no. You're just really vivid. It's right there on the graph. So they know that.
Great.
They click on the bar, and there's a tremendous amount of information about the fact that vivid visualization is a tremendous gift, and it's a key part of creating anything. We want to visualize it first in our mind. However, because it's so vivid, we're at high risk of engaging in some activities that could be destructive, such as fantasy, catastrophe, which is obsessive worrying, and counterfeit mental pleasure. where we play images in our mind that aren't healthy in relationships. So we look at those three, and then we break them down and explain what each one of them mean, and then we give them sample dialogue for each one of them so they can actually start to hear it. That's all we're doing. We're just making it a richer experience so someone can understand it more by just going through it by themselves. Because there's only so many people we can assess one-on-one as a coach. We've got a lot of coaches, but we want tens of thousands of people to learn these principles. So we wanted the assessment to be rich enough that someone could go through the experience, spend as much time as they want, and get tremendous insights, and then be guided into those things in the studio that they can study. So we're excited about that. So you don't need to take it over again because the measurements have changed. They're all the same. But you'll want to take it over again so that you can experience this new information that helps someone better understand it. Great question. Thanks for asking that. Help me to clear that,
sure.
Clarify that for everyone else. And enjoy your call tonight at 6:30. Anyone else that has a question on their assessment or on the assessment or the new assessment? Because I can tell you that the new assessment we put up for another client that wanted to have a customized version of the intentional creation assessment, and it went up live yesterday. We pulled it down for the night and brought it back up today, and we're getting all the bugs out of it, and we're very excited about how it looks and feels. Good. Well, let's step into intrinsic validation so we can explore these basic principles. We know that if we're going to connect with another person, that we want to practice agape love, heightened level of awareness. That's an art form. That's where we're totally focused on someone else. We want to take a look at the Chicago Dream so that we can hold our life experiences differently. We're not dragging them around behind us as burdens. We're putting them in our hearts so that we can use those experiences as reference points to better understand what somebody else is going through. We want to remember everybody's got a wall. That's not an option. We get as angry as we want to about that. Everybody's got a wall. Non-adversarial relationship, two perfect friends, two lovers, husband and wife, whatever. Someone who's got a great relationship, they still hold back 40%, on average, 40% of their cooperation until they feel valued, which means understood. We know that empathy, stand on someone's path. We use our experiences to stand on someone's path. We use our intuition, our inner sense of knowing that will cause questions to come right to the surface based on our experience. And now we are standing in front of someone. And we first want to start by noticing. So we notice others. We notice what's important to them. And the clue is, it probably won't be important to us. Another clue, at first you might feel awkward, as if you're faking this or manipulating this. That's what it feels like when we start to become aware of others when we haven't been. So if we feel like we're making this stuff up almost, just know that we're for the first time stepping over to a new world. It's a wonderful world of noticing what's important to another person. And then we verbalize what we notice. We love it when somebody notices something about us, and others love it when we do it for them. Then we want to be safe. That means we become a listener. We listen to understand versus listening to respond. Almost all of us listen to respond. Sometimes because there's an urgency in the conversation. We need to get something done. We want to get our way. Whatever it might be, or we don't agree and we need to defend our position, or they just pushed a button and they hurt our self-esteem. We want to listen differently. We start by listening for what we call doors, verbal hints. Somebody opens up that door and says, you know, I've had a bad day, or gosh, I'm just not sure how to approach this. Well, share with me what you're struggling with, or share with me what's happening, or I'm listening. People don't listen. People are in their own world dealing with their own stuff, and we become rare by becoming the listener. And we step into their world and we listen. And we listen to understand where they are. We want to understand them. Covey talks about seek to understand before being understood. We've just taken it one step further. Seek to understand until they feel understood. They feel understood, because that's what creates the trust. That's what creates the walls to come down, because there's no more need for them. That's what unleashes the cooperation and the productivity. So let us be this safe listener. Let's not shortcut the process. Then let's create a safe place. We create the safe place by validating, hear this carefully, validating our understanding. When we begin to understand, we want to say, ask a question. Do you ever feel this way? When that happens, does this happen next? Whatever that might be, we are validating our understanding. This is creating a safe place, because now they're starting to say, they might say, well, not exactly. Well, what happens for you? Well, this is what happens. Oh, tell me more about that. We're creating a safe place where trust can abound. We're asking questions based on our current level of understanding. If we don't have a question come to our mind, it's evidence we don't yet understand. As our understanding grows, we have more and more questions based on our own life experiences. We've been in a similar situation. How did we feel then? What were we struggling with? Would you ever struggle with this? You ever go here? Oh, yeah. Tell me more about that. We don't tell our stories at this point. This isn't about us. We're in their world, creating a safe place. When the walls come down, cooperation floods out. We're in a new moment of decision. We've learned a lot of information. We've left the person better than we found them. They feel understood. They feel intrinsically validated. That's what intrinsic validation means, to feel understood. Now they feel understood. They've been validated. It may be enough. Reach out our hand. Shake it. Shake theirs. Thank you for sharing. That was wonderful. Well, thank you for listening. And we leave them better than we found them. On the other hand, we may discover that we have some solutions to their challenges. Wow. And we're at a decision. If you're in a home-based business, this is a decision. Do I want this person as a customer or a client or a business builder? Do I want them? Yeah, I really like them. I could invest my time in them. I could assist them in growing. I could do that. And with that decision, return to the person. You know, you mentioned this and this and this. I've got some possible solutions for that. Would you be willing to hear them? Step into their world. Invite them to walk into ours. We're now walking out their door, over the bridge, into our world. And we sit down and we share. Simple. We share. But now we're sharing solutions to their challenges instead of throwing up all over them about what we think is important. Or taking a sledgehammer and trying to convince them that they need this. That's the old way of doing business, and it really is awful. It's the old way almost everything was done, and it's awful. There have been very few natural intrinsic validators. That's why Og says, this is the greatest secret of success in all ventures, because it's a great secret, well-kept secret. See the power in this. If I want somebody in my business, I don't target them. I don't try to recruit them. I first connect with them. And my connection has no agenda other than to understand them, and until they feel understood. Because I know when that happens, the walls are going to come down. I'll learn lots of things. Then I'll know whether or not I've got solutions. And if I do, it's the right moment, then I will open up my agenda. That's when I open it up. But I want to sell or promote or share, and I share it. We try to do this in the reverse, and we burn bridges, and we destroy friendships. It's the hallmark of network marketing, for an example, and direct sales. It's always been pressure, pressure, pressure. We take the pressure off, we become the rare one. Some people have said to me, but Dave, this takes too long. I say, option one, care enough to step into their world to find out whether they need your product, and two, whether you want them as a customer or a business builder. Make that decision. When you're in their world, and if it's right, and the timing's right, they'll react. Option two, throw up, hammer, drip, 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 6 months, chase, 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 they run, 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 run. If anybody's running from you, just know why. If you have a conversation with someone, you can call them back and they take your call, you know you built a bridge the first time and you walk back over it a second time. Now, when you've invited them into your world and you're sharing, I've shared this with you before, but it's so important. They raise a question, or raise an objection, excuse me, not a question. Objection, I don't have time, I don't have money. It's not a question, because if it were a question, you could give them an answer. People try to answer objections, but objections aren't questions, they're comments. And comments demand questions. Well, share with me more about your experience. Well, what kind of things are you doing? Do you enjoy those things? No, I wish I could do something different. Well, maybe this is the chance. How could we ease into a transition of doing more of this and less of that? How long have you been there? How long do you want to stay there? These are wonderful questions to ask in exploring somebody's objection. And lastly tonight, there's occasionally, it's not very often, but occasionally, that you'll step into someone's world and you'll find out they're a rattlesnake. They're just dishonest. And you just can't put them in your sleeping bag. Because you climb in later, it will bite you. Because that's what rattlesnakes do. And sometimes those are tough decisions. It's like in dating. People start to date, and they get very intimate very quickly, and all of a sudden they realize in daily life they're dealing with a rattlesnake. Now what do you do? That's literally putting them in your bed. Or you go into business and you feel really needy, so you take the first investor or you take the first person as a partner. And you find out they don't need any more than you do. Or they're just going to ride your case the whole time and make your life miserable. You've got a rattlesnake. Dennis, don't let us cut this process short. Let us spend the time to step into a person's world and find out who they are. Everything happens faster when you're looking back at over 6 months retrospectively. A lot could have been accomplished. For the one who doesn't intrinsically validate, they'll be coercing, manipulating, and recruiting weak people. That's why people will succumb to those tactics. 6 months from later, they'll be herding cats. People came in for a month or two, fell out. They won't return their phone call. The nightmare of it all is the evidence of how we talked to them in the first place. Our current nightmare, if we have one, is evidence of how we talked to the people in the first place. So let's practice intrinsic validation. Okay, well, that's what I wanted to share tonight with you. Does anybody have a question before we wrap up our session? Let us this week be a little bit more conscious when we're around people. Many of us are very conscious about our own doubts and fears and self. Let us be focused on others, noticing what's important, verbalizing, though it might feel a little uncomfortable at first. Let's be the safe person, listening, having the door open up and step into their world. Be safe. Create the safe place. The walls come down. It's a new moment of decision. If it's the right time to do it, then step into their world and invite them to come over to your world and then share what you want to share. If there is an objection, ask questions. If they're a rattlesnake, you know the decision. Just don't go there. It's not worth it. Well, everybody have a great evening. Thank you for your time. Let us practice this. Oh, I'd love next week for some of you to come back and share a success story. Thanks, everyone. We'll talk to you soon. Good night.